We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson and this message on angels. I never thought we would have this much excitement about angels here in July. Goodness, it is a Christmas in July kind of mindset, but what a wonderful amount of insight we've gained in this study on angels with Dr. Don Wilson. Back to Matthew chapter 13 this time. We'll dive in just a moment. Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And while you're there, sign up for our daily encouraging word email. Again, that's there at tewonline.org. And we're still having an old school conversation. Love to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Now, before we look at Matthew chapter 13, I want to remind you of three very important principles. They're not a shortcut to God. You cannot use angels to get to God without going through Jesus Christ. Number two, they're not a substitute for God. You cannot put angels in place of God. That would be heresy. That would be a denial of the expression of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number three, angels are not a safe haven from God. They'll never protect you or prevent you or give you a hiding place, if you please, from God. Now, we've been looking at this for the past 7 weeks. I'm going to begin today on point number 11. So if you want to know what the first 10 points were, by all means call our church and we would be glad to see that you get a copy of what God has been teaching us. I'm going to read to you a marvelous passage today. It's found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. I'm going to begin at verse 24. Now, Jesus told them another parable. What is a parable? A parable is, watch me, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay? Now, what Jesus is about to talk about here, he's about to talk about the kingdom of heaven. He's about to tell us who's going to be in heaven. He's going to tell us about the composition of heaven. And in order to tell us, he's going to show us ourselves on this earth, and he's going to give us this story, this parable that is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. I'll stop once or twice to explain it. Jesus said in verse 24, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' Jesus answered, 'An enemy did this.' The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?'" Now, everybody watch me just for a second. Have you ever wondered why it is that God allows good and evil to exist and coexist in the same community? I'll be honest. I say, "Lord, why do you allow these things to happen? Why do you allow the spirit of Antichrist to coexist with the spirit of Christ? Why don't you put a stop to this? Why do you allow good and evil to coexist?" Well, listen to what Jesus said here. The servants went and said, "Look, please put a stop to this. Let's pull the weeds up." Here's what Jesus said. "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. And beside all of this," in verse 30, "it is my sovereign will that both grow together until the harvest." Now, when is the harvest? The harvest is going to come at the time of the rapture of the church, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read about that. And Jesus is saying here to his disciples, and he's using a practical agricultural illustration to help us to understand this, an earthly story with heavenly consequence and heavenly meaning. He is saying to us, "Listen, until I come again in my glorious coming to receive my church unto myself, I want you to know that it is my divine and sovereign will that both the weeds and the wheat are going to coexist together. Good and evil are going to grow side by side. Why? Because I've determined that. God has given to us an incredible opportunity to be witnesses. You see, that's what the Great Commission is. Go into all the world. What's the world? Where the wheat and the tares coexist together. Go into all the world. Go and tell people about me. Listen to this. At that time, I'm in verse 30, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. How many of you have ever heard heaven called a barn before? That's not being disrespectful. From now on, if you want to call heaven God's barn, you go right ahead. Jesus said it. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying the harvesters are going to come and they are going to gather together all of those that love me, and they are going to bring them into my barn, into the place where I am. And something interesting is going to happen here. Let's go all the way down to verse 37 or verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Lord Jesus, please explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. Are you ready for this? Everybody sitting down? Are you watching this now? Look here. It says, Jesus said, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are... Are you with me? The harvesters are angels. Well, blow me down. Can you believe this? Knock my socks off. Here they are again. The harvesters are angels. Now look at this, verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom. And everything that causes sin and who do evil, they, the angels, will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Are you listening? Are you listening? Is anyone not listening? See, that's what Jesus says here. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Excuse me, sir. Are you listening? Did you hear what God is saying to us? May the Lord write this word upon our hearts. Point number 11. Angels escort us. Angels escort us. Now we're going to be very quick this morning. Luke chapter 16. If you turn with me very quickly to Luke chapter 16. Another incredible account that Jesus shared about the rich man and Lazarus who lived upon the earth. The Bible says in Luke 16 and verse 22... that the time came when the beggar died, and watch this, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. A Jewish audience, Jewish circumstances. Abraham, the God of the fathers of Israel, the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. To the Jewish mind, the place where Abraham is the place where God is, because Abraham walked with God and was a friend of God, and he's found in the presence of God. And the Jewish people understood, perhaps even more clearly than we did, that when this poor man died, that he was picked up by the angels of God, and he was literally given a royal escort into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that incredible? God tells us that angels escort us. Some people call them the angels of death. To me, that's kind of negative. Because when we die in Christ Jesus, God says to us, the angels are the ones who bear us unto life. Why? Because we have forfeited in Christ Jesus any semblance of spiritual death. We are now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us a number of things about death, particularly concerning the three things that we struggle with most. I'm convinced today that people struggle with three things about death. Number one, loneliness. Number two, lostness. And number three, being left behind. Angels, it seems to me, bear witness to the testimony of the Word of God through the Spirit of God that we have no fear of loneliness after death. It removes any fear of lostness after death, and it certainly removes any fear of being left behind after death. You know, it just seems to me, it seems to me like the Lord is saying to someone like me, listen, Don, you got such a weak faith. I know that you don't understand. I know that you study my word. I know that you take me at my word. I know that the Spirit of God indwells you and gives you understanding. But I just want to add my little word. I'm also going to tell you, not only do I say to you that you are going to be transported into my presence, but I'm going to tell you unequivocally that you are not going to be lonely, you're not going to be lost, and you certainly are not going to be left behind. And I'll tell you how I'm going to make certain. I'm going to send my angel to come and get you. Angels escort us.
What a remarkable concept, the fact that angels escort us. We'll be back with more of today's message from Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But right now, there is so much excitement. Interest, I guess, is a better word, because we're not excited when anyone turns their back or abandons their faith. But we are excited when tools like the book, Abandon Faith, is being used in countless lives to help, especially generations that have perhaps been taught something that would be disparaging to the faith, have had their eyes open to the truth of God's love, and knows that even if our people in our lives, friends and family, abandon Jesus, God has not given up on them. Again, the book's called Abandon Faith. You can find a copy and get yours on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. You can call for more details as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And of course, that's not just to connect you with resources. We're always available to pray as well. Now back to today's lesson with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number 12, angels participate in prophecy. Angels participate in prophecy. Now folks, turn quickly with me to the book of Acts in chapter 1. There are many passages that I want to look at. The book of Acts in chapter 1, angels participate in prophecy. There is a great deal that the Bible teaches about the role that angels play in prophecy. So if you would beg my pardon, we cannot do justice, and I'm not going to try to do justice. Maybe we could do another sub-series sometimes on the angels in prophecy. But I want you to understand this. Acts chapter 1, one can just imagine what was happening here. The Lord Jesus had exercised his most marvelous ministry upon the earth. And in Acts chapter 1, we read about the ascension of our Lord into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. The disciples were deeply disturbed. They were very frightened by this. And in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, while they were looking intently up into the sky, as he was going, suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them, two angels. And they said, by the way, if you've ever wondered whether angels speak or not, they do. They said, men of Galilee, they identified who these disciples were. They said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you up into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And it shouldn't surprise us that in 1 Thessalonians, when we read about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he comes back in the clouds. He doesn't come back to earth in the second coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of the tribulation and just prior to the battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes back in absolute, complete, and total fulfillment of everything that the angels have to say to the disciples. You see, the angels participate in prophecy. What did they do? They allayed the fears of the disciples. They gave them specifics. They directed their thoughts. They comforted them. They gave them a description of what will happen in the future. They encouraged their hearts. These angels were connected into the prophetic utterance of God Himself. What does it teach us? Well, two things. It means that they speak of the future. Time without number, as God so ordains in His sovereignty, angels are used to speak of the future. Number two, it tells us that angels accompany Jesus Christ in the future. Now turn back very quickly. Love to hear those pages. Matthew's Gospel 25. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Let me show you something remarkable here. Matthew 25 and verse 31. I'm going to go back to verse 30. I knew I wouldn't be able to do that. Go back to verse 30 of Matthew 25. Bible says, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Watch me for a minute. Remember that there are two comings of Jesus Christ still to come. One coming has already taken place. That was when He was born. That's what we're going to celebrate at Christmas time. The two comings that still have to come, one is the coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us about it. This passage tells us Jesus is going to come in the clouds. We, those of us who are alive and remain, are going to be caught up. We're going to be snatched up. We're going to be united with Him, and Jesus is literally going to be in the clouds in heaven. We're going up there to meet Him in the air. Then we're going to be with Him during that time of the 7-year tribulation. At the end of that time, Jesus is going to come back for the second time. That's called His second coming. He's going to actually, literally, and bodily land back on the Mount of Olives. And all of those of us who love the Lord Jesus, we are going to be with Him. Now I'm going to show you something very interesting here, folks, in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 24. Bible says, and God will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, I hope I've got time to explain this to you. I just simply want to say to you that angels participate in prophecy. They speak of the future. They accompany Jesus Christ in the future. Number 13, angels correct injustices. Write that down. Angels correct injustices. Acts chapter 5. Boy, what a passage. In Acts chapter 5. I just absolutely love this. Listen to what happens here in Acts chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 6. Turn to Acts chapter 6. From verse 8 we discover Stephen, this man full of God's grace and power. A wonderful man. Here he is being stoned. He is being treated in a most unkind and malicious fashion. And the Bible says in verse 15 of Acts chapter 6, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen. Look what happens. And they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And later on, when Stephen is stoned, they look at Stephen in the midst of his plight, and his face is like the face of an angel. I want to say two things to you. I want to remind you, my friends, that angels, according to God's sovereign grace, are used when and if God so desires to correct injustices in two regards. Number one, they open doors that cannot be opened. I just love this, don't you? Could I just ask a question? Just excuse me a moment. Could I ask you a question? I wonder how many people worshiping the Lord today are in jail. You're incarcerated. You're in captivity. You are being dealt in an unjust manner. I spoke to a lady in her 50s not too long ago. She told me, "Pastor, for over 30 years I've been incarcerated." You see, she said 30 years ago she was so badly mistreated. She was molested and abused. And for 30 years of her life, while living and going about her daily habitation, she's been in jail. She's been treated badly. She's been dealt with unjustly. She doesn't deserve the kind of treatment that she had. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that angels open doors that, humanly speaking, cannot be opened. God uses His angels to set His children free. Remember, angels can only work with believers, folks. Angels can only work with believers. God's angels are dispatched by God's grace to set the captive free. But there's a second thing. Angels put a smile on your face when it's impossible to smile. Now, I want you to think about Stephen just for a moment. Here's Stephen. This man is a just man. Bible tells us clearly he was a man full of God's grace and power, did wonders and miraculous signs among the people, and opposition rose. This man was dealt with unjustly despite all the things that he was doing. And he was dealt with in such a horrid manner that he was eventually taken outside the walls of Jerusalem and he was stoned. Stoning was the most horrid kind of death imaginable. It ran parallel with Roman execution. And the Bible says that even though this man was being stoned, let me ask you a question. Do you think Stephen could have sat there with those stones beating him to death and just broken into a wonderful smile? God's angels put a smile on our face when it's impossible to smile. Do you know the cruelest thing that can be done in a church? You want me to be the cruelest I possibly could be is right now to say, everybody smile. Go on, everybody smile. Folks, I'm telling you, I've preached revivals in churches and I've heard people get up. Isn't it great to be here? Everybody smile. Could I make an announcement today, folks? Many people who come to church cannot smile. Some people are facing surgery. Let me ask you something, folks. If you lose a loved one or you're going through a crisis in your life, is it reasonable to say, everybody smile? Well, how do you smile when it is impossible to smile? God tells us that His angels put a smile on our faces when it's impossible to smile. Stephen was being stoned to death, and everybody looked around, and they saw his face as the face of an angel. Number 14, angels will gather God's people together. Matthew 13, I read it. Angels will gather God's people together. Dr. Billy Graham in his book reminds us that angels are executors of God's judgment. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, He who makes His angels winds or spirits and His servants flames of fire. In other words, angels are God's avengers. Genesis 18, they warn of judgment to come. 2 Kings 19, they destroy the Assyrian army. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, an angel almost destroys Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 12, an angel smites Herod Agrippa. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 18, it is the angel of the Lord that kills the firstborn of the Egyptians. In Genesis 22, it is an angel that stops Abraham from killing Isaac. What does this tell us about the ingathering of the angels? Four things. It says, number one, that they will gather. Number two, they will separate. I worked on big farms in Africa, massive farms during my university vacations, wheat farms. And it was an incredible thing to see how you separate the wheat from the chaff. When the wind comes, it blows the chaff away and the wheat or the good stuff drops to the ground. The Bible says that angels are not only going to gather, but they're going to separate. Third, they're going to throw out. The word says they're going to separate the sheep from the goats, and then they are going to cast into outer darkness the weeds. But finally, although not conclusively, they will keep in. The Bible says the angels are charged with the responsibility of keeping people like you and me right in there, tucked away into the heart of God. It's like when we go home someday today and we light a fire and get out the mushrooms and the peanut butter sandwiches and the meat and the pork and the vegetables and everything else we're going to have, and we snuggle up. The angels are going to keep us snuggled up in the arms of God.
What a wonderful word picture to help us know that God's arms are not only open wide for us, they are, but they're ready to wrap us up, literally to embrace us, to snuggle, as Dr. Don would say. I pray that you would know that we believe firmly God is using this broadcast at this moment to let you know He loves you and has a plan for your life. Would you take a moment and hear perhaps the most important 60 seconds are next from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
As Dr. Don was praying, could it be that God has stirred your heart and you were praying along as well? I know that in my own life, I have rededicated my life many times in hearing the pastor. As a matter of fact, it's a part of our commitment every worship service that we say, God, how can we deepen our commitment to you? And maybe that's where you are right now. You are rededicating your life to Christ. If so, we've got resources we'd love to put in your hands. I hope you'll give us a call at 866-899-9673 and let us connect you with those resources. We also have resources for some of you who have just given your life to Jesus for the very first time. Welcome to the family. Again, we have a wonderful set of packets for you. Love to put some things in your hands that'll help you start walking with Christ on a daily basis. And most of all, we just love to pray with you and encourage you. Maybe even help you find the local church. We've got church partnerships across the globe. And again, would love to connect on 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org, where you'll find out about great books like this.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but let's stay connected online at tewonline.org.